Good morning, everyone. This is Caroline from the City Mission, and you're listening to Faith in Crisis, our half-hour show where we discuss urgent needs and important issues that the homelessness community is experiencing here in Cleveland. And not only that, but the ways that the church can be better educated and get more involved in being a part of the solution. Today, we'll be heavily focused on that very issue as we have our CEO, Reverend Richard Trickle, and COO, Linda U. Vegas, here to discuss the current state of homelessness in our city. Rich, last year we aired a very similar show discussing the state of homelessness in Cleveland, but a lot has changed since then, and we've seen some things develop. Can you talk about those changes over the past year and what you're currently seeing here in Cleveland?
Regarding the general circumstances surrounding homelessness, as it impacts women and children in our city, the very bad news or disappointing news is a year later, not much has changed at all, meaning the problem is just as severe. The resources are just as slight, and the overall circumstance is just as critical as it was a year ago. So that's that's the bad news. The good news is that as an organization, the City Mission has made a commitment to step further into this circumstance and to try to bring a solution that will provide help and hope to a greater number of women and children.
Thanks, Rich. It truly is incredible. The numbers of women and children that are seeking shelter at Laura's home, sometimes over 100 women and children, that were unable to shelter because there's simply not enough room. Linda, can you talk more about what the City Mission is doing to assist these women and children that are able to obtain a spot with us and commit to our program?
Family homelessness is a very complex situation. You know, we have women, children, men coming to us dealing with addiction, mental health, generational poverty, domestic violence, and trauma. So we really believe that complex issues need to be addressed with a comprehensive, multifaceted approach. We have a long-term program at our women's facility and our men's facility that address the complexities of homelessness. We provide case management, intensive case management, and mental health counseling and legal assistance, spiritual training, financial literacy, and services for the children. So we see that this is not a problem or a situation or an issue that can be solved in 30 days. This is going to take a long-term approach as it is very complex for each individual.
Rich, do you have anything to add to that point of what the City Mission's perspective on empowering people should look like?
So our perspective, as we work with not just the women, but also the men that come to us, is we understand that an individual that finds themselves entrapped in poverty and homelessness is there as a result of a variety of circumstances and situations that have occurred in their life. In other words, we fully realize that this is an incredibly complex problem. And we also reject the simplistic solution that all a person in that circumstance needs is a house. We know that's not true, especially when we look much farther down the road, and as we help individuals transition into housing, it's our hope and our goal that they'll be there not only in 6 months, but 12 months, 24 months, 5 years, forever. Stable, long-term, sustainable housing. So to accomplish that, acknowledging the complexity of poverty and homelessness and the impact that it has on a person's life, we realize that some time is required to address those concerns. And so the City Mission, being one of the only organizations in town that has the freedom to actually invest that time into the life of someone who is desiring a path up and out of poverty, we're able to do that. And in doing that, we're able to see a number of things accomplished. First of all, because many of our women have been so traumatized by violence and abuse and the uncertainty of unstable housing, they come to us suffering emotionally. We're able to bring resources around them to care for them, to help equip them with the tools needed to bring them to a point of stability and thriving. That then sets them on a course of, excuse me, of being receptive and capable and able of embracing some very specific skill-related training, whether it be in developing their soft skills, developing their ability to manage a household, managing their credit scores, their debt, getting all of those things under control, and beginning to pursue a path of some very basic vocational training that will result in employment. When they find employment, ongoing case management occurs with them. That helps them understand how to properly manage, maintain their employment, thrive in their employment, manage their income, their budgets, and then move forward economically to the point where they can be successful managing not only a household, but for a number of them, a home of their own. So it's that long-term engagement that we can have that almost none other in our city is able to have. And by long-term, I don't mean forever. I mean 9 to 12 months, and then beyond that, with ongoing case management, maybe an additional 2 to 3 years. But it's that kind of engagement that we are able to provide that is critically needed to help these individuals move not only to stability, but to a point of thriving in their personal life.
I think that's one of the most important points to get across here, that true change for someone who's been trapped in the cycle of poverty just can't happen overnight. And thankfully, because we are run entirely by private donations, we are able to allow people to stay for more than the typical 30 days, a few months, until they can truly find out what the Lord has for them next. They can learn how to rest. They can learn new skills. There's simply just the time that they have to figure out a new way of living. So Linda, can you elaborate more on this by telling us what other organizations across the city are doing and their unique programs to assist people experiencing homelessness in Cleveland?
We actually love partnering with other agencies. There's a lot of really good agencies doing things in our community. We look to them to help us and partner with some of the services that I mentioned earlier, as far as counseling and trauma, counseling for our children, and IOPs, which is an intensive outpatient program for men and women struggling with addiction. We love to partner with them, and they are doing the very best that they can do also with their limited resources. So there's an overflow shelter for families, and they do their best to meet those needs, as many families as they possibly can.
We have some of the best social services in the entire country, and yet this issue still remains. Linda, having been the program manager of Laura's Home in your previous role, you've come very close to interacting with people who have been in this very situation of experiencing homelessness. Can you talk about the effect that that has on a family, both the mom and the children?
When I think about the women with children who are coming to Laura's Home, I just can't even imagine the burden that they carry. Oftentimes, they will come through our doors with feelings of desperation, stress, worry. They're hopeless. They're exhausted. They have all their belongings with them as they enter our door, their children's belongings. Oftentimes it's in black garbage bags. That's all they have. So when I think of a mom, as myself as a mom also, the tremendous burden and stress of providing safety and stability for her children. How am I going to get them to school? How am I going to provide what they need? I have nothing. Her resources are so limited. And when they do come to Laura's Home, it's usually their last effort, you know, to get help, to seek help and hope for their children. So the burden that I can't even imagine that our women deal with every day. I feel like it's overwhelming. And many of our women have, you know, not completed high school or are unable to earn enough money to provide for her family. So to think that never leaves their mind. It is something that they are forever thinking about. You know, children come to us, you know, with their moms, and they are, they're also experiencing a trauma. You know, oftentimes we think, well, we need to talk with the mom and help that mom, but we see them as a whole unit, a whole family unit, where that child has also experienced homelessness and experienced violence and seen things that we wouldn't want any of our children to see or experience. So we really see the severe effect on children. And, you know, there's so many statistics out there that talk about that, what the impact of homelessness or housing instability is on children. Many times they are behind academically due to school transfers. They're not in one place all the time. You know, they're constantly moving or finding a safe place to stay, or couch surfing, which means they're staying with a friend or a family member, but they can only stay there for a short period of time. So kids are missing school. They're more likely to be suspended. They're always, you know, trying to catch up because they've not been in school as many days as maybe, you know, a child who has housing stability. It's very hard to identify them for special services because they're constantly moving. So they are also behind in that. Their health and their risk behaviors, those are unaddressed because there's no consistency or stability for them. It makes them harder to finish school. So there's just so many devastating effects on children, and I just would say that the impact of homelessness on children is devastating.
Do you have any specific anecdotes to that effect, the way that you see homelessness taking a toll on women and children, and what the City Mission is able to do to empower that mom and that child to overcome that burden you were talking about?
Yeah, currently, right now at Laura's home, I know that we have about 31 families in the building, and 20 of those families, which is adds up to about 64%, have a child experiencing trauma. They've have a diagnosed developmental delay, or they have an IEP. An IEP is an individual education program. So those children are not doing well in school. They have difficulties learning. There might be experiencing trauma, witnessing a violent home life. So out of those 20 families that we have, you know, intervened and provided services for, only one of those families came with already connected to services. So again, many of them are not receiving the services that they need because they are constantly moving. So we have linked all of our families that have been identified with appropriate developmental services through counseling or any type of developmentally delay that we can assist them with. So the moms are so appreciative of that because they don't know how to help. You know, they know something's wrong. They know that they need to help their child, but they don't know where to go for that, or they don't have the time. They're in crisis. They're just trying to survive themselves. So it's great that we can come alongside while they're staying there, have a sense of, you know, stability and safety, and we're able to, you know, connect with their children and get them the services they need. So many of the moms, too, it's really interesting. What we see is a lot of what we call generational poverty. So many of the moms themselves were in a homeless situation, but as a child, they saw their mom, you know, had nowhere to go, and their grandma. It could be generations. So they never had it modeled for them how to be a mom, how to financially manage their money, or what a healthy relationship looks like, and how to show love and discipline in an appropriate manner to their own children. holding down a consistent job. None of that has been modeled, and I think we take so much of that for granted. Most of us have probably had that modeled and seen that, but they have not. So to be able to take that family as a whole and work with them and build those skills and empower that mom to help her children, and she can feel a satisfaction of knowing, okay, I'm getting the help that I need for myself and most importantly for my children.
Rich, can you speak more broadly to what the City Mission's vision to see lasting change for these families is?
The City Mission has a significant vision regarding the way that we interact with the women and children that that we're dealing with. And it goes far beyond just providing basic needs for them. It goes far beyond just providing a safe place for them to be for a time. It goes far beyond just engaging them on a short-term limited basis. Our vision is to bring around them the necessary resources to provide the help and the encouragement that they need, and ultimately to put them on a path that will result in them moving up and out of poverty.
Now, at the beginning of the episode, we said we were going to talk about ways that the church could be a part of the solution. So, Rich, how does the Church of Cleveland, the greater church, get involved in being a part of breaking the cycle of poverty with those experiencing that very thing? From your years of experience, what would make the difference?
Well, the local faith community in our city represents an incredible army of individuals possessing all of the required resources to not only to step into this problem, but I believe to completely solve this problem. So when you think about what's required to engage this homeless population that we're talking about, women and children, certainly fiscal resources are required. If we're going to provide homes, there are no affordable homes available. So joining with the City Mission in their effort to secure foreclosed homes, rehab those homes so we can make them available to families, is a very, very real need that we have. There's not a local church in our city, almost none, that could not afford to do that. That's a real big deal. But even beyond that, the personal relationships that could be established by men and women from our faith communities that have been through life, that have learned things, whether by the privilege that they've had growing up in stable families or through other circumstances, they're able to bring that and draw alongside of an individual that has not been as fortunate as they are, has never been able to witness or experience stability in any format, and help them through a personal relationship, almost like a mentoring relationship. That is critically important. And we haven't even begun to talk about the unbelievable impact of homelessness on children and what's required there. So if you think about, you bring all of that to bear and you think of the thousands of people represented by the Cleveland faith community and them marshaling together their resources, their interests, their engagement, their opportunity, in light of all of those individuals, what is a relatively small population, comparatively speaking. So we're talking right now, we're looking at maybe in our city, we're about 1,000 homeless families that are kind of drifting out there. That number isn't that big when you consider the vast resources that are existing in our faith community. So the problem is that there's no coordinated body able to coordinate the response of the faith community. And so we kind of tend to operate in factions. So the opportunity is great, the need is great, and at the end of the day, it's a biblical injunction that we should be following: care for the poor and needy among you.
Sure, that would be a beautiful picture to see the Church of Cleveland unite around the issue of family homelessness. What a testimony to the gospel, to who Jesus is, and to what we're called to do as believers for us to step up and make a difference in this area in a big way, a transformational way. Linda, how do you specifically see the church being able to meet the needs of a family or an individual that's experiencing homelessness? And what are some ways they can do that through the City Mission?
Well, we can't do it alone. The City Mission, we are grateful for what we can do, but I know that we cannot do this alone. We have a wonderful base of volunteers, but we need more. We need more engagement. We need people to come alongside of us, giving their time, which is great. But we also need them to engage with our families, mentoring and providing much-needed services that will help those families. You know, one thing that I know is that the women, many of the families, they don't have a good support system. So the church can do that. We can come alongside and say, you know, I would just love to help you with how to figure out your budget or childcare. They're just real practical life skills. So we need that engagement. We also want to prevent homelessness. So we want to focus on our youth program. We have a Pathways program that, you know, deals with teenagers, and we need to make sure that these young individuals do not return as one of our clients. We don't want to see that, you know, cycle of generational poverty to continue. Our goal, and it's lofty, but necessary, is to end homelessness. We want to break that cycle of poverty, you know, one family at a time. And one program that we have that I just has just been life-changing is our New Horizons program that does that in a very practical way. And New Horizons, we partner with the land bank, the Cuyahoga Land Bank, the City Mission, and then another partner. Maybe it's a single church, a group of churches, a corporation, an individual that partners with us and the land bank and says, you know, we'll raise that $40,000. We will come alongside, raise the money to rehab a home that the Cuyahoga Land Bank will give to the mission for a very discounted price of a dollar. So we take that home, we work with that partner, and they will rehab the home, come alongside a general contractor, and they are able to take a home that was abandoned, foreclosed, sitting in the neighborhood for years possibly, that was a blight in the neighborhood, and now turn it around, make it just a home where that street can be proud of. And then Laura's home, how we work with them is we will take the family who has completed our program and move on to move into that home. So we will transition that mom and her children into the New Horizons home. And then we have a proving period of about 12 to 18, maybe 24 months, where we work with that mom and her children and work on financial management, budgeting, all those things that she needs to maintain that home. She will be responsible for the utilities, for a program fee. And then after that 18-month, 24-month time, we will then meet with her consistently. We've already met with her throughout this whole period, at least once a week, for providing wraparound services and case management. But then, all is going well, we will then transfer the title to her, and she will own that home free and clear, which changes that family's life forever. Those children now see a mom who's in a home, who is working, who is just providing that stability that they all need. So we are working on our fifth house right now, hopefully to be done by Christmas. And we have at least two or three more in the works for 2019 that we're working with other partners. And we're really excited because this program truly does change the trajectory of a family forever. And those children will also be changed forever. So we need partners. We always are looking for individuals or churches or some type of faith group to come alongside and say, hey, I'll sponsor a home and change a family's life.
I think everyone I've talked with about the New Horizons program has just fallen in love with it immediately. So if anybody else would like to learn more about that, they can head to www.thecitymission.org/new-horizons. And Rich, to wrap things up, what specific way would you like to see individuals in the church use their time and talents to create a support system for people who are experiencing homelessness, recovering from homelessness, or have recently overcome it and beginning a life of new stability? What's the most important thing?
What is widely recognized when it comes to moving a formerly homeless family from homelessness, instability, housing instability, to long-term housing stability is ongoing case management. And so what we're talking about is a regular connection from a professional sense with a case manager who is able to meet regularly and help that individual who is transitioning into a portion of life that they have never ever experienced before. Now, the good news is you don't have to be a professional to do this. You just have to be an individual that has life experience. So I'm saying all that to say, as we think about the numbers of homeless women, whether it might be single women or moms with children that are extending unbelievable effort to rip themselves out of the entrapment of poverty and to move into a life of stability for themselves and their children, what they require is someone, at least for a portion of time, to walk with them and to help them navigate and negotiate many of the circumstances that life brings their way. Most of us are experiencing this because we do it with our adult children. As our children, you know, reach that point, 18, 19 years old, they transition out of our home, many of them, into some kind of education. They move out. How many times a week do they call with problems, questions, concerns, and you're there to help them? And then they get married and they transition into their new family. How often are they calling or are you visiting and you're just sitting around a coffee table or the dining room table informally talking about life? It's no big deal, but they're asking you questions, they're picking your brain, and you just are sharing them in a casual environment how to handle whatever circumstance is now come their way that they've never experienced before. And you are giving them guidance and direction. That is exactly what's needed. That's the secret right there when it comes to enabling, helping, providing a path. And when we think about the thousands of Christians in the community that could do that, that could spare an hour a week for a phone call. I'm going to call Mary, who just moved into a home of her own with her three children. She's never been in a home before. She grew up, you know, bouncing around people's couches growing up, but now she's got a home of her own. I'm going to call her every Monday at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm going to see how she's doing. And I'm going to just talk to Mary. I mean, that is a very simple thing, but it also can be the difference. That's what I'm talking about. Something as simple as that. And then, of course, you can expand that. I mean, to all kinds of different areas, other areas of expertise that could be made available. You know, men and women that understand banking and finance and you know, all kind those kinds of things that we bump into and you need an expert, but not every day, but maybe once in a while. Those kinds of resources could be marshaled, could be identified, could be made available. This is just a matter of, are you willing to provide some time and allow someone else to access your areas of expertise so that they can help move into stability? Really simple.
Thank you, Rich and Linda, for being here. I know you both have very busy schedules, and we appreciate the time you took to educate us further about the state of homelessness here in Cleveland. Listeners, if you're curious about anything that you've heard today or you want to get involved, you can always visit our website, www.thecitymission.org, and explore. We're more than happy to connect with you and help you figure out how you can be a part of this solution. And tune in again next week at 10:30 a.m. for another episode of Faith in Crisis, where we dig a little further into life at the City Mission and talk with our Crossroads and Laura's Home program managers. Hope you all have a great weekend.